Our next presenter is Dr. Annette Gardner. She is the Assistant Professor in the Department of Social and Behavioral Sciences at the University of California, San Francisco, and also an Academic Specialist at the Philip R. Lee Institute for Health Policy Studies. Please welcome Dr. Gardner.
Pretty lively bunch. Good morning. We just heard from the treetops. I'm going to go down to the grassroots and frame this a little differently and really talk about looking at this side around implementation as well as innovation down at counties and what we might be able to anticipate. So I'm going to talk about the results from a very small study I did in 2006 around looking to add access to care in four counties in California. Nothing to disclose, just happy to disclose my findings. So I'm going to cover, first of all, what counties, four counties in California, have been able to do around the range of initiatives to increase access to care for the uninsured in Fresno, Humboldt, Santa Cruz, and Solano counties. Anybody from California? Anybody from any of these counties? Oh, okay. I'm going to talk a little bit about what it takes to get these initiatives up and running. And last, I'll talk about the issues that counties have to contend with, probably the same issues we all have to contend with. First of all, a little history. I've been trolling about in counties for a few years now, doing a series of studies. First one was about, well, how do counties deal with funding the safety net? And I think we came up with 69 funding streams, federal, state, and local. It's a morass out there. But we also did some case studies in four counties, and I was intrigued to see how much diversity there was in these four counties around caring for the medically indigent, which is a county responsibility in California. The second study we did, we took two of these counties and said, wow, we're amazed at what they're able to do in a relatively short time period, and we took two very different counties, San Joaquin County, a fairly poor county, but able to muster the resources to expand, I wouldn't call it insurance, insurance-like coverage for adults. And then Santa Clara County, which had just launched its Healthy Kids program to provide health insurance for children up to 300% of the federal poverty level, including the undocumented. And then we said, well, is it just these two counties? And so we did two statewide surveys with 44 counties responding in both of them. And actually, we found quite a bit of activity underway. And it wasn't just that they're all doing different things. We saw things emerging that were cut across counties, even though they keep saying, once you've seen one county, you've seen one county. That's not always the case. And what we found out, too, is that they're actually very well positioned to take care of their own needs. But we were also interested in, well, how are they able to do that? And it's a combination of discretionary funding. We actually split our Master Tobacco Settlement Fund 50-50 between the state and the counties. My one slide on access, it'll be short. Uh-oh, your insurance doesn't seem to cover illness. And because that's where this really fits in terms of the cost, quality, and access. And for those of us in this room, this is not as funny as it might have been 3 years ago, but what we talk about at the county level are the linguistic, cultural, economic, health system, all these other barriers that reduce access to health care. And the other point I want to make on this slide is that our work is looking at how initiatives work in tandem. Insurance coverage is only as good as the services you can get to, and we're going to actually cover a broad array of approaches to reduce the barriers to care. Why counties, again? You know, we saw a lot of innovation around expanding insurance for children, and it seemed to proliferate. It wasn't a blip on the screen. And in my mind, I'm a political scientist. I'm really interested in policy change. In my mind, the action was at the county level. We just weren't seeing that much happen at the state and the federal level. Just one thoughtful quote for the day. The other thing about focusing on counties as not just a unit of analysis, but as a site of change, is that in many ways, they are about community, and it's about a community that can make a significant change in a relatively short period of time, because politics and policy can happen only in communities. Community must be the starting point of our polis. Public policy is about communities trying to achieve something as communities. It's a lot of C's in one sentence. But also that we found in our San Joaquin and Santa Clara study, it took a year to agree to fund and launch these initiatives. In terms of decision making, counties afford you a lot of flexibility, and they're quick in doing some very progressive things. Counties vary from state to state. I'm just going to tell you a little bit about our counties. We have tobacco dollars, we have expertise, we have high commitment to access to health. We have significant barriers. Counties are responsible for the medically indigent. Again, this will vary from state to state. They're highly dependent on state funding. They're very vulnerable financially. The unmet need is significant in California, 6.5 million uninsured. And so the extent to which a county can actually address this huge unmet need, you know, that's a significant challenge. So our study, small little study, we went to counties with populations under 1 million, because one of the things that popped up in our 2004 study is that counties with relatively few resources were willing to entertain rather significant activities, and we wanted to know a little more about that and open up that little black box. So we went to four counties. The other thing that we were doing is that we were doing the study on behalf of Sonoma County, which is also a population of under 1 million, and they they wanted to know what everybody else was doing. How are they? What were the nuts and bolts of different types of access initiatives, and where do they fit into this range? So we did a series of interviews of representatives from the county, from the providers, the insurance plans, et cetera, and we looked at what types of access activities, the types of policy issues they contend with, who's involved, what do they do, how do they plan, finance, and implement various access activities. Where are they with their information technology, and how are they integrating services? What's the trajectory of counties in California? Here's a quick, how much is this? Oh, it is readable. Terrific. I'm not going to go through it line by line or cell by cell, but I just wanted to give you a sense of the range of our counties. Fresno, Central Valley, a fairly large county, actually. It contracts out its services. It doesn't have its own county-run system. And I'm not going to run through all of them, but Humboldt tends to be a less populated county, more rural. Santa Cruz, Central Coast, a little more suburban, some rural. Solano, much more suburban. So this gives you a sense of the range. But they have similar issues around access, lack of services, not just specialty care, but also primary care. Also, it tends to be their uninsured adults that are their underserved populations. Kids were taken care of. Let's see. I'm going to move into my findings. What we found, which was similar to what we found in the past, is that counties undertake a lot of different types of activities to increase access to care, be it coverage expansions, service expansions. There are some commonalities at that level, but when you start drilling down into specific types of activities, you'll see some diversity among counties, and I think this is worth noting, because when it comes to addressing disparities, I think you need a way to get at and address your unique needs. Children seem to be addressed, as I mentioned, and as I'll show you in the next slide, adults are in much more in the proposed stage. So we've been using a set of categories, and I've got them up on this slide, and we've coded them for where they're at in terms of being underway, no activity, or proposed. And the first column under insurance is that in all four counties, there was a program, be it through their Healthy Kids or, in one case, CalKids, to insure children up to 300% of the federal poverty level, including the undocumented. These are locally financed programs. The hope is that they resemble the Healthy Families or SCHIP program, and the hope is that you can eventually float that population into that program. But these are individual programs in these counties. Adults, actually, there was some progress here. We were a little surprised, because that's a tough nut to crack. And I'm not talking about redesign of the healthcare system and coordinated services. I'm talking about actual insurance product. And one area that has great potential is covering IHSS, or in-home support service workers. They have a financing mechanism. Indigent program reforms. Indigent, that means you are not eligible for any of the other public programs. You're a resident of the county. This actually is a fairly good area to leverage. You can tweak these programs. You can add benefits. You can add, reduce or change eligibility and include other populations. Outreach, enrollment, retention, it's underway in all these counties. It's part of their children's efforts, as well as the consumer education to get people to products. And facility expansions continue on as well. So what you have is this nice picture of insurance and services and everything to get people to them working hand in hand. Financing, another tough nut. Let's see if I get it's very much about multiple funding sources. Did I say 69 funding streams? It's private, it's public, it's piecemeal, it's project-driven. Of the four counties, only one county, Solano County, not Sonoma, had a sustainable funding mechanism. They had locked in some of their tobacco settlement funding for their access activities. IT, similarly piecemeal, very uneven, but steady progress around adopting certain programs. One eApp is a seamless online electronic program that cuts across different programs, be it insurance, WIC, and other types of programs. Three of the four counties are either proposing or adopting. Some effort here to really progress in different areas around IT, to have centralized data systems, diabetes registries, and the like. Telemedicine is also something that's emerging, and particularly in our rural areas. Thank you. So progress. We also like to know to what extent counties are working sort of collectively around integrating their health systems or their services on looking at healthcare system redesign. And we have a lot of activity in California around integrating behavioral health services in primary care settings as part of Prop 63. Let's see. I'm just going to keep going more quickly here. Cost-effective systems of care. Again, to what extent do counties really take this on as an issue? And my sense is that in 2006, when we looked at this, it was rather limited. There are various different strategies. But to tell you, be it shared risk, registries, having it in, as part of your goals, figuring out ways to leverage funding. And the big squeeze is on, not just at the state level, but the counties. And my sense is that we're going to move in this direction a lot more. So what are the issues that policies contend with? They have a lot of room to innovate, but they have a very limited room or control over existing programs for the uninsured, be it Medi-Cal, be it our medically indigent programs, which we have too, be it Medicare. They have the same issues everybody has around medical costs, ensuring the undocumented, and we do have a large percent of our population. There's also some resistance to expanding coverage, particularly for adults. I mean insurance coverage, because actually we're making some progress around adults with our health coverage initiative, plus low reimbursement for services. Okay, here's the fun part of my presentation. As part of our other two studies, we found out that upwards of 26 counties have what we call an access coalition. They were also called Children's Health Initiatives. And many of these came out of the HCAP program. You had to have a coalition to go in for funding. And all four counties had one. And they vary in age and maturity. They vary in membership, although most, three of the four, are very broad-based in their participation and leadership, though they tend to stick primarily to the healthcare arena. They also have stature in their communities and are recognized as a lead agency. I mean, these are 501c3s, NGOs, CBOs. This is not the county. And they also have a certain nimbleness. They can wear multiple hats when it comes to securing grant funding, convening, planning. They can implement. They're quite skilled. The downside is they rely heavily on grant funding and tend to be at times very project or program driven. So here are our coalitions. Fresno is the youngest. It's an HCAP spinoff, tends to represent more of the safety net. Yeah, there are three. The one in Humboldt and Santa Cruz and Solano are broader based in participation. Solano is the grandfather of them all, very well established, the one that has figured out how to secure the tobacco settlement funding for specifically for access. And what's interesting about Fresno is the way they characterize their efforts is that this has been a way to leapfrog. And because Fresno has its share of issues, and that this as a vehicle for making change happen quicker than it might otherwise is something that they've been very proud of. What contributes to the success of these organizations? They have figured out how to collaborate, how to achieve consensus on goals. They work hand in hand with the county agencies and our Medi-Cal managed care plans. They are very active. They are very busy. They've been good about securing the grants and making good on their accomplishments. They are established in their communities. They know each other at the grocery store. They have capacity. They have staffing. They have resources. They have savoir-faire. They're good at what they do. So I'm going to wrap up with my study of policy implications and bring it back up a little bit more to the macro level. When we think about county, state, federal levels, and we're very interested in how this can be maximized and what the nexus is, what are the areas of responsibility, how can you leverage each level. And what we find is that, the local level, there is enough diversity that you really have to, think about a tailored approach, that a one-size-fits-all or cookie-cutter just won't cut it, given how very different these counties are. The other point here is that it's not just tailored, but you need to think of initiatives in tandem and how the pieces work together. Also, though, even though there's significant unmet need, as a site for innovation, it's really worth tracking what counties are doing and how they do it. Plus, they tend to talk to each other, and there's a good model here for adoption across county lines. The Healthy Kids product, I think was replicated in 25 to 30 counties. So it does happen. And even those counties with limited resources have great potential for making interesting and important things happen. But they can't go it alone. The unmet need, as I said, is significant. There needs to be a federal state county partnership articulated. In the past, it's been sort of a senior junior, and my proposition is that it just needs to be partner, and not consider one having greater stature or tenure than the other. So that's my talk. I have copies of the issue brief that the California Program on Access to Care developed. I think it's worth highlighting the importance of this perspective given where we're at with national health care reform, because implementation is only as good as the counties are able to make things happen. Thanks so much.